Okay, so if you have your Bibles with you or app on your phone or whatever it is, I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 9 this morning. And we're going to read, I'm going to try and read this quite quick, okay, because I'm aware there's a lot to read. But we're going to be looking at chapter 9, verses 1 to 19. So I know it's long, but bear with me. And we're just going to read, these verses together. So Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on the mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground. But when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. The Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." But the Lord said, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Now, I reckon that for many of us, that's a really familiar story. I reckon lots of us have heard this incredible, incredible story of Saul and his radical transformation. And I reckon that many of us have heard teaching on this time and time again. And in this story, Saul is the star of the show, isn't he? This radical transformation. But you see, this morning, I want us to focus not on Saul, but I want to take some time this morning for us to look at Ananias, this other person in the story that maybe sometimes gets a bit overlooked. Almost Saul is the star, and Ananias is this little side character, so to speak. So I want us to think about Ananias this morning and see what we can learn about him. And the first thing we find out about Ananias is that he is a believer. Do you know, we don't actually know much more about Ananias. We don't find out much more even later on. But it says to us right at the beginning, verse 10, it says, "Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he replied." Do you know, just from that verse as well, we can tell that Ananias, he was a believer, but he was someone who knew the voice of God. He recognized the voice of God speaking to him. He's there saying, "Yes, Lord." In other versions, it says, "Here I am, Lord." There is this instant recognition of who is speaking to him and also a willingness. It's almost like he's going, "Yep, I'm here now, God. I'm here. What do you want to say to me?" There's this something of readiness, willingness within Ananias that we can see and glimpse just within these first verses. He was a believer who recognized God's voice and a believer who was a willing servant. And then the verses that follow, we get this dialogue, don't we? This little conversation where God gives him the task. So he says to him, right, I want you to go, it's very specific, I want you to go to Straight Street, to the house of Judas, and I want you to find Saul. And what is Ananias' first two words? But Lord. Do you know what? I almost imagine he's almost saying, hang on a minute, are you serious? Because we need to remember here who Saul is. And I love it that actually Ananias chooses here to just tell God, Saul, he says, doesn't he? I've heard about him, you see, because he is doing terrible things to believers. He is arresting those that call upon your name, God. It's almost like he's saying to God, do you know who Saul is? He's going, hang on a minute, are you serious? Are you talking about Saul? Do you know what this man is like? Do you know what he has done? Do you know what I love is that God does? He does know. He knows exactly who Saul is. He knows exactly what Saul has done, and yet he's choosing Saul. Do you know, in the same way, God knows you. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what you've done, and yet he chooses you too. So here we are with Ananias. He's uncertain, he's doubting, and he's questioning God. He's querying, really, Lord, is this really who you want me to go and lay hands on? And you know, how often do we do the same, that God speaks to us and we question? We go, really, Lord? Are you serious? Do you know who you're talking about? Do you know what you're asking? And you know what? We question him because we're so limited in our thinking. We are so limited in our way of thinking. To Ananias, the thought of going to Saul, the man that is persecuting the church, to go and lay hands on him would have never crossed his mind. It would not have been an option. But you know what I love is that, isn't that a most wonderful thing about God? Is that God is not limited to the way we think. Do you know what? I'm actually incredibly grateful that God is not limited to the way that I think and you think. Do you know that God's ways are beyond our ways? His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. If you've got your Bibles, you might want to turn to these verses in Isaiah. I love these verses. Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Do you know what? That just blows my mind. This is God here. Man, it's beyond anything that I can imagine. Well, I can't even imagine that. It's beyond our imagination. It's beyond our thoughts. And then verse 9, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God is not limited to how we think. And we need to remember that sometimes. I love it, and I'm so grateful and thankful that God is not limited to how I think. So here we are with Ananias going, what, Lord? Are you serious, Lord? Do you know who this man is? And what I love is what comes next in this dialogue, verse 15. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument. Do you know what? God doesn't rebuke Ananias for questioning him. He doesn't go, all right, then I'm going to go find someone else. Okay, he doesn't do that. What I love is that actually in these couple of verses, what he actually does is he assures Ananias. He assures him. He reveals a bit more of the plan. He said, it's almost like he's going, it's okay, Ananias. I'm actually choosing Saul to be my messenger. He reveals that little bit more. And in doing that, he is assuring Ananias. He's encouraging him, giving him courage and giving him faith. God gives Ananias assurance. And then after that, verse 17, Ananias went. Ananias was obedient. Do you know what? We get that a lot, don't we, when we look in the Bible, the obedience of people doing and going whatever God says for them. So I love these few verses, this dialogue, where we have God giving Ananias the task. Ananias questions and queries him. God assures him, and then Ananias goes. He is obedient. And you know what? I think Ananias' obedience here is really quite powerful, because he was going, actually, to what could have felt quite a dangerous place to see Saul, who in verse 1 we read was eager to kill the followers. He was intent in destroying the church. So for Ananias, he needed courage and bravery to step out in obedience, and he does that. Do you know, there's something else in this dialogue that really caught me when I was looking at it. If we go back to verse 11, when God initially talks to Ananias and he says, go to Straight Street, to the house of Judas, go and find Saul. It's this bit where he says, he is praying to me right now. Saul was praying to God right then. He is praying to me right now. And I just want to take a moment to almost paint the picture of what that was like. And I want you to imagine Saul, this man who we've just said was doing such evil things. He was intent in destruction, persecuting, wanted to arrest, kill all these people. Now, when God says he is praying to me right now, I don't think Saul was probably sat there all prim and proper and very civilized in his prayers. He's just had this encounter with God. He's blind. And we don't know much about these 3 days other than he didn't eat or didn't drink. But I imagine that Saul would have been on his knees as he's praying to God. I reckon Saul would have been crying out to God. I reckon his prayers would have come from a deep place within him. These prayers were fervent prayers. I reckon this was Saul, a broken man, and he was crying out to God from a broken place. And God hears him. God hears him in that moment. A little thing to note this morning, God hears you. You might feel like you're Saul and you are in a broken place. You're crying out. You are calling out to him from this deep place within you. And this morning, God hears you. So we've got Saul in this place. And what I love is, like, over here, there's this conversation going on between God and Ananias. There's this little conversation going on. And, you know, God is saying, Ananias, my Saul over there is crying out to me. He's praying, saying, Ananias, I want you to go and help this man. Ananias, I want you to go and answer his prayers. He's saying, Ananias, I want you to go and lay your hands on him over here. Do you know God could have in an instant made Saul see again? In an instant, just like he made him blind, he could have in an instant gone, met him, sorted it, done, job done. But he didn't. He chose Ananias to go and help Saul. Do you know, God is looking for Ananiases that he can send. God is looking for Ananiases that he can send. My challenge to us all, this is as much to me, this has really spoken to me the last couple of days. The challenge is, will you be an Ananias? Will you allow God to send you? This is what our challenge is this morning, for us to be like Ananias. Let's be ready to hear God's voice. Let's recognize, to begin with, the voice that's calling to us. Let's be there ready, willing, going, yep, God, what is it? Let's be ready, because God wants to come and he wants to say, look, over here is my daughter and she's crying out. I want you to go to her. God is finding people that he can say, look, my son over here is in need. I want you to go to him. Will you be an Ananias? Do you know Ananias is such an incredible example to us? I think he's someone that's so often overlooked because we focus on Saul, but Ananias here, wow. Such a great example. Do you know, I even want to say that you might find that you've been in this place and you're Saul on your knees and you're crying out. Well, do you know what? Look out for who God's going to send to you. Do you know what? He might have already sent an Ananias and you've missed it. Okay? Look out for who God is sending to you, because he hears your cries and he is doing something about it. And I really believe that when we are there and we're down on our knees, God is here. He's doing something. So often we think, God, are you really there? Oh, my word, he is. And he's doing something about it. And sometimes it comes in a way that we least expect. Because let's think about this. His ways are beyond ours. And he thinks of things that we can't even imagine. Okay, so God is saying, Ananias, I want you to go. I want you to go because Saul, my son Saul, is crying out to me and I want you to go to him. And he does. And let's read what happens next, verse 17. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul. Do you know what I love is that Ananias doesn't go with a chip on his shoulder. Because let's face it, this is the man. Let's think, we've got to remember here who Saul is. Ananias could have so begrudgingly with a chip on his shoulder gone, all right, I'm going to go. He could have gone there and treated Saul with such contempt. But he doesn't. He actually goes. He lays his hands on Saul and says, Brother, brother Saul. He showed such kindness and such love towards the man who would have wanted to kill him just moments later. I don't know about you, but I find that really powerful and a real lesson for us, that when we question God, going, you want me to send go to that person? You want to use who, God? Oh, don't go with a chip on your shoulder. Please do not go. But let's be the example Ananias and go with love and kindness and to show God's love. It then says, once he'd done that and said that, he says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Do you know what? Quite a lot happens within those few sentences. So Saul can see again. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He gets up, he goes and gets baptized. He's eaten some food, he's gained some strength. Wow, that's a lot going on there. There's a lot going on there. But you know what? Ananias was right there in every single bit of that. He was right there seeing and watching as Saul could physically see again, as he could spiritually see. He was part of him being baptized. He was part of feeding him. He ministered to Saul. He ministered to him. Ananias was such a significant part of Saul's story. Do you know, we do get Ananias again later in Acts. I think it's the only other time we really hear of him. And if you want to flick to Acts 22, we get in this chapter, Saul, who is now Paul, because he has his name changed, he's speaking to a crowd and he's sharing his testimony. He's talking about this moment when he came to faith. And from verse 11, he talks about Ananias and it says, I was blinded by the intense light and had to be led by the hand to Damascus by my companions. A man named Ananias lived there. He was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law and well regarded by all the Jews of Damascus. He came and stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, regain your sight. And at that very moment, I could see. Do you know what I love? That Saul or Paul here speaks of Ananias and said, he came and stood beside me. I love that picture. Because I don't think Ananias just physically stood beside him. He spiritually stood beside him as God made him see again, as God filled him with the Holy Spirit, as he was baptized, as he was physically fed and strengthened. Ananias stood beside him. Who are you standing beside this morning? Who are you standing beside? Do you know we need each other in this way?
We need each other. We need people like Ananias in our life. I don't know about you, but I do. I need people like that to get alongside me. I know that I need to be an Ananias to others. We need to stand beside each other. Whether we're at the beginning of our faith journey, whether we're many years on, doesn't matter where you are on the path. But what a powerful thing that Ananias did. He came and stood beside Saul. He ministered to him. How wonderful that is. Do you know, the next verse afterwards, Paul is still talking about Ananias. And verse 14 here in chapter 22 says, "Then he told me, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and hear him speak. For you are to be his witness, telling everyone what you have seen and heard." Do you know, isn't this great? Ananias was basically delivering this most incredible message to Saul. Ananias's job was so much more. There was so much to it. He came and spoke life. He said, "Come on, this is what God has got planned for you. This is what God is saying to you." And then I quite like this next bit. "What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord." So Ananias had obviously gone, "Come on, what are you waiting for? Let's go and get baptized. Let's do this." I love that bit. What are you waiting for? He is literally just getting alongside. And I love this. What he is doing, he is picking up Saul and he is bringing him to the feet of Jesus. That's the role of an Ananias, getting alongside someone, picking them up and bringing them to the feet of Jesus. I love that bit. Come on, what are you waiting for? Do you know what I want to even just throw out? Have you been baptized? I know at the minute we can't do that. Do you know what though? As I've been thinking about this the last couple of days, how brilliant. When all the restrictions are lifted, that we could have a baptism service. And I'm going to say to you this morning, if you're not being baptized, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter whether you've just become a Christian. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, and you've not been baptized. Come on, just come and do it, because it's the best thing you can do. It's what it tells us to do in the Bible. And you know what? Something happens spiritually when we do that. Just throwing that one out there. One day we'll have a baptism service. Do you know all of this? When he came and got alongside, Ananias ministered to Saul. He spoke truth to him. He spoke it and did it all in such love and with authority because God had told him. God had told him what to do. And he came and delivered it and had the authority of God. I'm literally right coming to the end now. I'm nearly done. So who was Ananias? Do you know what? He was just an ordinary man. Just an ordinary believer. And I love that. I love this story because actually we've got two very different men. We've got Saul, a man who is your most unexpected, unlikely candidate to be chosen by God. This radical transformation, but God chose him. But we've also got Ananias, an ordinary man, but God chose him. Whether you feel like you're a Saul and you're like, "I'm the most unlikely person that God's going to choose," he wants to choose you, to use you. And whether you feel like Ananias and you're like, "But I'm just an ordinary person, I'm just me." God chooses you. He chooses you. He wants to use each one of us. But most importantly today, the challenge for us, the challenge is for us to be like Ananias. Will you be an Ananias? Will you be that person that's going to recognize, hear God's voice calling you, be ready and willing and obedient to do what he tells us? Will you be the one to go and stand beside someone? Will you be the answer to someone's cries by standing alongside them? Will you be like Ananias and go and minister to the person that God's sending you to? Minister. Will you be an Ananias and just pick them up and take them to the feet of Jesus? Do you know, it's really hard to physically stand beside people at the minute. We all know that. But we can stand beside in so many other ways. We can stand beside people spiritually. You can pick up the phone and call someone, text them, go and stand at their door and do a doorstop and stand with them there. Will you be an Ananias? God is looking for who to send. Let's take a moment. We're going to pray, and then the band are going to just lead us in a song. And let's just take a moment. And do you know what? Right now, where you are, whether you're at home, whether you're here in this room, do you know what? You can respond right now and just go, yeah, God, I want to be like Ananias. You might want to say, yep, God, I'm here. Send me. You might even want to start to say, God, who do you want me to go and stand beside? Father God, I want to thank you this morning for this man, Ananias, that we've read about. Father God, I pray for each one of us that we would be like him. God, help us to hear your voice. Help us to recognize your voice. God, that we may be willing and ready to do whatever you want us to do. But God, this morning, we want to say yes. Send me, God. Help us to be an Ananias. Father, I pray for each one of us, spread across the town, watching in our homes and here in this building. God, I pray for each one of us that you will speak to us, that you will tell us who to go and stand beside, that you will tell us who to go and minister to, that you will tell us who it is that you're sending us to. Oh God, help us to be the people that stand beside each other. Help us to show love and kindness to those that need it, God. God, will you send us? Will you show us who you want us to go and stand beside? Amen.